actually playing music now?
Wow.
Skull Vikings, let's win this game. Skull Vikings, honor your name. Go get that bird.
Why does it sound like they're the Munchkins singing? You know, I've never could have figured that one out.
Lollipop Guild, we are proud.
Michael Broadcorp is kind enough to join us right now. We have recruited him as our Vikings expert. As the Vikings are headed into the playoffs, they've got a game up on Sunday versus the New York Giants at home. Michael, how are you today?
It's fantastic to be with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
My absolute pleasure. I'll get to a political question for you in a little bit here. But since you are the fan, are you going to the game?
I will be at the game. We also need to talk about my recent visit to Lambeau Field.
When was this for the game with the Lions?
Let's talk about this for a second because I think it's going to be very important to your listeners. Okay. I was in Lambeau. I was at the Packers Lions game last weekend in Lambeau Field. My wife is a huge fan of the Green Bay Packers. We have a mixed marriage in that sense, and I was at Lambeau Field. And if you allow me just a couple a moment or two to talk about the experience in Lambeau Field.
By all means, no. The floor is yours, my friend.
It was remarkable. I have, as I said to my, as everyone knows, I have a deep-seated passion and hatred for the Green Bay Packers. I hate them more than anything in life. That being said, my experience in Green Bay this past weekend was nothing but remarkable. If you are a fan of the NFL, if you are a fan of football, going to Green Bay and experiencing what it is like to experience football in Green Bay is nothing short of remarkable. It is everything I wish Minnesota had in terms of the experience. I mean, particularly the championships, let's be clear about that. But aside from that, it was just a remarkable experience from a fan of the NFL football, which in this context you're having me on to talk about. It was simply remarkable. I was happy to be in Lambeau Field, which is very difficult for me to admit. It was just an absolutely NFL-driven town, NFL-driven experience, and I would encourage all Vikings fans who are passionate about the sport, but anyone who's passionate about the NFL, to have an opportunity to get to Green Bay and talk about it, because it is an absolutely wonderful experience.
Well, and it's similar to going to Yankee Stadium. I'm not a fan of the Yankees, but going to Yankee Stadium is pretty impressive. Go to Detroit or go to Toronto for the NHL. Go see a Lakers game out in L.A. I mean, there are these places where because of consistent quality play, in the case of Green Bay, where it's basically the only game in town, you get a much different experience than you get here. And because of championships, it creates a much more NFL-centric exhibit there versus our, and this is, I'm not doing this to take a shot at the Vikings, but our lack of championships, it has created more open space for other things, which Minneapolis-St. Paul is magnificent, and it's a very different existence than, say Pittsburgh, where they are a Steelers town. That is a Steelers place. And it's a very different feeling than it is here. It feels more like a well-rounded life here if you're not necessarily a sports fan. But the reality is, what you're saying is there. If you are a fan of sports, if you're a fan of the NFL, Green Bay is one of those must. You have to do it at some point in your life.
I was really surprised by that, in a sense that I was really surprised by that. It was everything I hoped. I mean, it's a small town. I mean, it's 100, as my wife pointed out, 107,000 people in Green Bay. The stadium itself seats roughly 81,000 people. There are residential homes right across the street from Lambeau Field. And it was just surprising to me the level of intimacy that you had in the NFL experience. I will also say to you respectfully, I've never seen more alcohol consumed before in my life. And I mean that in the most complimentary way. It was absolutely, and my dad and my grandfather are probably rolling in their graves right now as their grandson and son are out there praising the Green Bay experience. But I would say again, it's a must visit stop. and I hope it's something. Again, I will be there this weekend. I'm glad to be home inside U.S. Bank watching the Vikings take on the Giants for a playoff game. But it was, I would be remiss in my role as being a correspondent for you for NFL/Vikings coverage if I didn't discuss my NFL experience in Green Bay.
Were you wearing Vikings gear when you were there?
I was not. I will say to you, I try to be in my best behavior. As I tweeted out, my job that day was to be supportive of my wife's love of the Green Bay Packers, be quiet about my love of the Vikings, make sure I don't get in any fights, and make sure that I leave Green Bay safely. I did all of those things. I learned, I will say to you, Matt, it will be very surprising for your listeners to know that I can keep my mouth quiet. And I did in Green Bay, and I kept my mouth quiet in Green Bay, and I was a good soldier. It was a wonderful experience I got. But I did have, I will say, in the interest of transparency, my base layer, because the stadium is outside, I did have a Favre jersey on.
Okay.
But I didn't show it off in any type of way. I wasn't flamboyant about it.
I got to imagine the mood changed in about the fourth quarter there, and that stadium went from a, we're guaranteed, we're going to the playoffs, and this is why I said I was more scared about Detroit than I have Green Bay. Detroit took care of business there.
Yes, it was a tough experience to be in. I mean, again, I was there in full to support my wife's love of the Packers. It was a tough environment. It was not a win. The Detroit Lions defeated the Green Bay Packers, killing Green Bay's chances to advance to the playoffs. If I'm being honest from an analysis standpoint, which I am on this show, Matt, I take it seriously. We discussed last week my concern about facing both the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs. So if I'm being consistent, which I always want to be, I'm glad that the Vikings that this decreases the likelihood that the Vikings meet either the Packers or the Lions in the playoffs. This means that this Sunday, which I'll be at, they'll face the New York Giants. We will face, assuming the Vikings win, we will face the winner of the 49ers/Seahawks game. And I'm excited for that contest.
Well, actually, we won't. If the Seahawks win, they'll actually play at one.
What?
I believe that as the seventh seed, they will automatically play at the one seed at Philadelphia if they win. And then we would take
Play? So I'm wrong?
We would take on the what would be the 4-5 winner.
I thought I was right. I did all my prep work, and here I am. You're fisking me on live air.
I think that's right. If San Francisco wins, we play at San Francisco. If San Francisco loses tomorrow, then we will host either Dallas or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You're right. I assumed that we would face the winner of the San Fran Seattle game, but I'm going through the math in my head, and you're correct because that would drop Seattle down to a six seed versus a two seed, and we're a three seed. So I understand the math. So
yep.
Yes, your point is well taken, sir.
They're going to wear purple. They got the purple pants. They're doing this. So there's your style update for this game. Do you think that, I mean, pretty much it's the popular pick to take the New York Giants. That seems to be the one here that a lot of people are very clear. They feel the Vikings are a complete and total fraud, that this is where they get exposed and this is over. I would like to point out they beat the Giants earlier at home. So and all you're doing is making the Vikings mad. So I got to imagine the New York Giants are like ixnay on the guaranteed Iants win nay. So yeah, I guess I'm going to presume the Vikings are going to come on out with trying to send a message.
Yes. I mean, you and I have discussed this before, which is that the Vikings are, you know, a little bit of Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. And so I wanted the Vikings to face the Giants. And so if the Vikings lose to the Giants, that will be frustrating, but I expect them to do quite well. They defeated the Giants roughly 3 weeks ago. I think this is good. As I was driving back from Green Bay after the game, I was thinking about, you know, this upcoming show and how I would give my analysis on it. And I feel generally good about the Vikings' chances versus the Giants. I mean, they have done very well this season versus all New York teams, beating both the Jets and the Giants this year. And so I feel good about the Vikings' chances. I think the playoffs, as they're laid out, present a variety of opportunities for the Vikings, because I did not want to face I did not want the Vikings to face either Detroit or Green Bay. And now that they don't have their division rivals in the playoffs, I think there's a real path for them. And we'll see which Viking team shows up.
It's interesting. The Giants early in the season, they're 9-7-1. The Giants, the reason why people were scared of the Giants early on is their defense in about the first six or so games looked unstoppable. And then they just kind of started sputtering. And it's not because of injuries or loss of a player. It just is they lost their cohesiveness. And that showed up with the Vikings game, and it showed up in the rest of their season, which was, once again, you know, they really kind of stumbled a lot at the end here. I just don't see them coming together on that defense that you saw early season with the Giants and the Vikes. I do feel as if the Vikes, I don't think it's going to be a big win, but I think the Vikes will pull it off.
You have faith in this, in the Vikings?
Somewhat. I mean, I'm not exactly. This is not like stone cold lock picks or anything like that. But I think that, you know, of the two teams, the Giants have just been more inconsistent than the Vikings have. I mean, the Giants were 9-7-1. They weren't. They were slated to compete with Philadelphia for the East and the number one seed, and they just kind of stumbled. They've just been more inconsistent. I think that favors the Vikes.
Yes, I think you and I are in agreement that the Vikings are 12-4 team, that they potentially could be 8-8, and this is the team that, depending on which team shows up, really determines how the game is going to go. I think the Vikings should be, having beaten the Giants previously this season, being a higher seed, they should win on Sunday. The question is, will they? And that's what I will experience with other family members on Sunday at the game to see if they win. It's a real love-hate relationship with the Minnesota Vikings. But I have faith that I'm going to get some love on Sunday.
Okay? Well, no matter,
and it seems that you are kind of there.
Yeah, I kind of am there. And no matter what, we'll have you back next Friday, no matter what happens, for sure. But I will say,
that's always a win. That's a win either way.
I will say this. Watch out for trick plays. That would be my guess. They're going to come out with every freaking trick play.
Well, don't say it, because then the Giants are going to know.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're listening to this station right now.
Yes.
That's where they come. They're all big fans of the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Speaking of which, politics, if I can. We have the new session here. Of course, Democrats are in charge, and we're getting a reminder, and this happens when Republicans get both sides, that yes, they can actually pass bills in January and February. What do you know? If you were to say, you know what, DFL, take this seriously, pass this bill. What's one bill that, if you could have a wish list, that you could sit down with the DFL and say, you know what, here's the deal. You got to get this passed. What's the one bill that you would go there and say, you know what, you run with this?
From the standpoint of being a Republican or just general policy?
Either. I mean, whether it's, obviously you can say, well, I wouldn't want this, maybe a Republican wish list, but that probably wouldn't happen. I would say something attainable that you could, it might be a Republican initiative, but something that you could convince enough DFLers to jump on board with and get it passed.
I think there needs to be potentially some substantive discussion on tax policy. I think there's a real opportunity this legislative session, because of the budget surplus, because of the extent of it, to look at some overall, what's Minnesota's tax philosophy? That being said, Matt, I will say to you without any hesitation, a conversation I've had with a number of Republicans this week, the Democrats are not resting this legislative session.
No.
They are pursuing a very aggressive agenda. To the victor goes the spoils. And one of the frustrations I have with legislative Republicans right now is I don't see a lot of fight, a lot of contrast to their side. I had a lengthy conversation with a number of who I'll identify as kind of Republican or centrist kind of strategists. And the opportunity that Democrats are seeking right now and what they're doing is, these are generational issues. I mean, I think there's a real possibility that the type of work that the Democrats are taking on right now could be the type of generational fight that will take Republicans 25-plus years, if they even were to succeed, to try to deal with. And so one of the things that I think Republicans need to be aware of is that Democrats are showing up with their A game. They're showing up organized. They're showing up ready to fight. And they're not taking the opportunity that they have lightly, which is they hold the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. And they're proceeding with their agenda aggressively, as they should.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, for me, there's a lot of things they're going to do here, which, I mean, I have opinions on one way or the other. I would honestly think that for the betterment of Minnesota, stepping away from the DFL for a second, pass a health care bill for the family farmer. Get the farmers to where they can get health care. Fix the Minnesota miracle. Get that restarted back up so the funding is better for the schools. And then, frankly, and I got to tell you something, this is maybe the conversations I've had with Driesline over at Outdoor News, they've got to do something about chronic wasting disease in the deer population, because my God, if we have to get like Ohio and cancel a hunting season, the financial impact of that is going to be dramatic, especially in rural Minnesota. So if that, those are three things. I think the chronic wasting disease, I know Rick Hansen is and others are really big on getting that one dealt with. But I would hope that as well, they could get a health care bill for the family farmer, as well as also the Minnesota miracle. I don't know if they'll be able to accomplish those, but those would be, I think, getting away from just DFL priorities, those would be really good for all of Minnesota.
I would agree with you. I think you've articulated good issues. I rely on one of my base issues has always been tax policy and where the state is going. I think having the advantage of a roughly $18 billion budget surplus, I should say, provides an opportunity to forecast whether Minnesota can be is positioning itself in the upper Midwest as a state that can attract the type of business development. We can create the type of environment where Minnesota can grow. I hope Democrats are focused on that.
Yeah.
I think that they have been rightfully so, and I don't want to say anything to diminish their electoral gains, but they have been very organized and very aggressive from the beginning of this legislative session to take opportunity at all of the electoral gains that they have. And Republicans, I think, my message to Republicans on this show is to step it up, mm-hmm. is to step it up and figure out what's your role. Is your role to contrast what the Democrats are doing? Is your objective to be sand in the organization of what they're doing? Or is your perspective to offer a vision and contrast? What I'm not hearing right now out of Republicans is a contrasting view. It seems to me that they're acceptant and tolerant of the fact that Democrats have won both the House, the Senate, and the governor's race. And it doesn't seem to me to believe that they've offered much of a vision for the state. And as a Republican, as someone who wants to see Republicans succeed, I would like to see my team do more to champion for their cause and for their vision for the state. And right now it seems to be the Democrats that the only one that are leading.
I will say this. I think there is a decent chance there are enough DFLers I know that do want to address tax policy. So hopefully there would be some compromise there we'll see what happens there. But needless to say, we'll talk about politics another day. You have a fun and safe time on Sunday for sure. We will talk to you next Friday. And hopefully we're talking to you about the next game coming up. Okay.
I believe we will. Contrary to your contrarian view, I think the Vikings are going to win. I hope for the sake of the Vikings in the state of Minnesota, you're wrong, Matt, but we'll see next week, okay?
They'll get a safety in the last minute, and they'll win it by one. There you go.
Michael, thank you, my friend.
You bet. Michael Broadcorp, our Viking specialist and also a political pundit, will post the links to his website a little bit later on. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up the show. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.